to date, we've 105 fire calls. Last year alone, we had 146. So we may pass that, or we may get close to it anyway at this stage, with, given the weather forecast at the moment. It's much the same. We still get the same types of calls. You know, the RTCs, fire alarms. We had chimney fires, which we're actually going into chimney fire season now. We get grass, we get gorse, we get... also, we're all trained in swift water rescue, being so close to the sea. So we just support the local Coast Guard and RNLI when needed.
And obviously there's a lot of talk this week about Hurricane Lorenzo and what's happening in there. In those severe weather conditions, how does the fire brigade play a role?
Well, for flooding alone, we'd be on call for that. As I said, we're trained for flooding and for swift water rescue. Also for trees down, we assist the local council in that. And if there's any danger of flooding, we actually will supply any of the back streets with sandbags or any assistance that is needed by the county council, really. That's what we do.
If I turn to you, George, in terms of someone getting in contact with you, how does someone get in touch with your fire brigade?
A number that's there for all the emergency services is 999 or 112. Once you dial that number, you will get through to an operator. The operator will then put you through to our regional control centre, which is based in Limerick. The control centre there in Limerick will cover all the fire stations in Munster, both full-time and retained, as what we will be hearing you all. From there then they'll take your details, your name, your telephone number, which is very important. That'll be one of the first questions they'll ask in the event that they get disconnected from you, so that they can ring you back. They'll ask you the nature of the incident, such as if it's a fire, what type of fire, if it's a crash. They'll ask you your location. More and more as well, we're using all the emergency services really are using their air codes. So we do visits there to schools and to community groups. Really, in the last 12 to 18 months, we've been pushing that people know their air codes. It's a thing that has certainly speeded up the response time of all emergency services, not just ourselves, but also the Gardaí and the ambulance in responding to an incident in somebody's home. Our control centre will go through all these series of questions that they have. On their system above in Limerick, then they'll see once from the address that they have where's the nearest station, and they'll start mobilising the nearest station once they have the address. So even when they're still asking you questions about the incident, our pagers are actually being activated at that time. So already, even when you're on the phone with them, the nearest brigade is responding to the incident.
And what is your response time, George?
It's normally between 4 to 5 minutes. From the time the pager goes off. So if you take in that into consideration, that a lot of us could be at home, we're at work, we all have to live and work within 2 miles of the station. The response is normally within 5 minutes, and that's from the time that we get alerted to the time we've left the fire station with a crew on the fire engine heading to the incident.
So you guys have jobs as well as being a part of the fire brigade?
Yeah, we have a variety of people in the brigade here in Yall. We have plasterers, we have carpenters. I'm working in the school myself. We have one lad that's also working in the local authority. So it's a wide, varied crew that we have, and everyone has their own little specialty that they deal in. That certainly comes into play as well when we're dealing with something as well, you know.
And how have your employers been? How have they accommodated the role? How have they reacted to you being part of the fire brigade? Are they very supportive of it?
Yes, in fairness, I suppose, we wouldn't be able to respond to the incidents unless we had the support of our employers, you know. They do acknowledge the role that the fire service does play in the community, and everybody within the old fire station and Cork County Fire Service in general is very appreciative of the support that we get from our employers, you know.
Terry, if I can turn to you, because I was looking up the stats for last year for Cork County in terms of the calls that the fire brigade made across the county, and over a quarter of them are to do with chimneys. How big of a problem is chimneys for you in your fire brigade?
Every year, actually, we get a lot of calls. As I say, we're actually coming into that chimney fire season at the moment. So but if people kind of just clean them once or twice a year, it shouldn't be a problem, and burn the proper fuel. Shouldn't be a problem. But you know, if you get a chimney fire, please call us. We will do our normal checks, clean the chimney for you, check the attic. It's a free service, so feel free to call us. There is no charge whatsoever for first call. Or if we do call and it is the chimney has burnt itself out, we still do our checks and make sure everything is safe. And there's never a problem.
You've mentioned this chimney season now twice. Where in particular is this chimney season? And if someone was preparing for the chimney season, when should they get their chimneys checked?
From now, really. From October on till we're into the winter season, when the weather starts changing, people are starting to light their fires. And, you know, it may not have been cleaned for 6 months from the start of the summer till now, so to be... Stuff would be getting loose and then more drier, as we say. So when they light the fire, it'll just catch, really, and just start going up. There are local guys that actually would clean them for you. They have the proper equipment to do it. It's probably the best way to do it. And what people have at the moment is a lot of stoves in their houses. People seem to get a lot of stoves. They're specialised cleaning. So if you go to a specialised or a registered chimney sweep, he'll do them for you, you know, properly and clean up as well.
George, in the home, because obviously Fire Safety Week, particularly there's an emphasis on smoke alarms this year, and that's an essential device within the home. How can people make sure they're safe in the home, or at least lessen as much as possible the risk of fire?
It's recommended every home should really have a smoke alarm. You know, they're a relatively cheap piece of equipment to have in the home there now, you know. They do the job that they're meant to do. If there is smoke in the home, they will activate. They will give you time to get out of the house if you need to get out, you know. As Terry said there again, covering other points and fire safety in the home, chimney fire season, as Terry's calling it there, is something that could possibly be avoided, you know, with people, which recommended that their chimney is cleaned before they start lighting the fires after the summer. You don't know what's been there throughout the summer. You could have birds nesting or anything inside in the top of the chimney in the flue or anything like that. As well as that, for other things at night time, plug out any unnecessary electrical items that's not required overnight. Phone chargers as well. We've come across phone chargers causing small incidents that can develop into large incidents at home when people are using non-standardised phone chargers, I suppose the way I'd put it, rather than call them cheap. Again, there is different things. If you do have a fire in the home, we recommend there that people, once they're all out of the house, it's stay out of the house. We don't want anybody going back in. Contact the emergency services, 999 or 112. If you have an assembly point outside the home, so that everybody knows that everybody is out and they're all accounted for, you know. Again, we've touched on the winter weather that's there, and over the last couple of years, we've seen it get more stormy, and between wind and rain and snow and ice, if there are warnings like that issued by national services for people to take heed of them, listen to the national local radio stations, be stocked up with flashlights and batteries, you know. We don't want people using candles in the home. Obviously, they're a fire hazard, and especially if there's electricity gone, you have them around the place. So we'd ask people not to be using them, to please use torches. And again, have an extra supply of batteries in the home, because you can use your radio to listen to the local national stations and find out how things are going, you know.
With regard to smoke alarms in particular, people will go out and buy one, but how often do they need to be checked and how often do they need to be maintained?
It's recommended that the smoke alarm there is tested once a week and should be cleaned once a month. So if you're doing a bit of hoovering there around the house, maybe if you could reach it with the pipe and the hose just to give it a bit of a hoover to take the dust out of it, because it can affect it, that it may not work properly if it's full with dust. Every 12 months, the battery should be changed in the alarm. Some people have come to us and said, oh, my fire alarm is chirping, what's going on? And that's obviously, the battery needs to be changed at that stage, but you don't need to leave it that long before you change it, if you change it every 12 months. And after every 10 years, smoke alarms should be disposed of completely and replaced. There is, believe it or not, an expiry date on smoke alarms. It's stamped on the alarm. Not a lot of people know that it's there, but it is there, and it's recommended by the manufacturers that after 10 years, the whole unit is taken down, disposed of, and a new one installed. And that also applies for ones that are into your ESB mains as well. There's an expiry date on those as well. So,
yeah, I don't think a lot of people will be aware of that. They may think, I've bought the detector now, I'm good to go. Yeah. Until, like you say, it starts beeping at you aggressively, which it has a habit of doing. Terry, if I finish up with you, if someone is listening to this and they may have a concern or they may have an issue with smoke or fire in the house, you know, what if they're reticent to contact the fire brigade? What if they think, well, you know, this might be costing me a fortune now to get the fire brigade out? What would you like to say to them?
Please call us. If you need us, please call us, guys. If you do call us, we have calls with good intent. If you call saying you may have seen a fire or smoke coming from a house, you thought it was suspicious, call us. You won't get billed. And if we come there and the fire has burnt itself out or if it's a false alarm, we don't mind. It's what we're trained to do, and we enjoy the job we do.
Well, actually, people may not be aware, but there are certain cases where you may think a fire has gone out, but it hasn't actually done that. It may come back up again quite easily.
Yeah, especially with chimney fires, actually. Even though it may seem smoke may have stopped, but it still be red hot in the middle of the chimney stack itself. And it may crack the wall into the attic. That's where the danger happens, where sparks might come in. And that's where the danger of fire may start.
George, you've brought in a couple of things that you'd like to share with our listeners.
Yeah, what we have is we have two spot prizes, I suppose, really, if you want to call them that. It's a home fire safety kit, and what's contained in it is a multi-purpose powder fire extinguisher and a fire blanket. The fire extinguisher can be used on Class A, B and C fires, which would be, say, Class A is paper, wood and cardboard. Class B would be flammable or combustible liquids such as oil, grease, petrol. And Class C is for electrical equipment such as wiring or circuit breakers, you know. So it's only a small fire extinguisher, but it may help you out sometime if you're in need of it. And we also have a standard air fire blanket for use for if you have any chip pan fire. Hopefully people aren't still using chip pans. We do a lot of displays there with our chip pan unit. I don't know if anyone has seen it for when water goes onto it. Extremely dangerous, but there is a fire blanket there. Hopefully, as I said, somebody won't need it, but there is two sets of those there for you to...
Well, that's fantastic. We'll have more details about how we can give those away a little later. But I just wanted to thank you, Terry and George, for coming in and all the work that you do in the Fire Brigade. Terry, I believe you've also got a couple of new fellas down there now.
We have. I'd like to mention our new recruit, new firefighter now, I suppose, it would be Joe Butler, who joined us there last week. I want to wish him the best of luck, and he finished Toffee's class, and if you're talking to him, he'll probably tell you himself anyway. And also, best of luck to Darren Welsh, who's starting his recruit course next Monday up in Galway. He's 3 weeks ahead of him. And also, as we're talking about Joe, he has his BA course in 2 weeks' time in Clonmel. The best of luck to him.
There's a very physical aspect to your training, isn't it? It's not easy, is it?
It's not easy. For the recruit course itself, it's 3 weeks of intense training. From 9 o'clock in the morning, it could be till 9 o'clock in the afternoon sometimes. As I say, it's 3 weeks. It covers every aspect of the firefighting, from how they get onto the appliance, how they get off to appliance, ladders, everything is basically like an army course, you know, and they have their marching in the morning, drills in the morning. Everything is, you know, start to finish is very tough going.
Guys, thanks very much for coming in, and I hope people get something from that and are more mindful of their safety in the home.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.